Grace and mercy and peace to you from the members of the Triune Godhead. In preparation for our study of the Word of God, it's time to make a voluntary shift in your mindset. You can ask a very simple question. What thought pattern am I allowing to influence me right now? Is your soul tuned to KCOS, the cosmic system of thought? Or is your soul tuned to WGOD, the divine system of thought? This request for a mental shift gives you the opportunity to make an evaluation and to tune your soul to the reception of biblical thought, which the Bible refers to as renewing, as you prepare to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So right now is the time to let the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prepare you in humility to receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. As it says in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, we count on the Holy Spirit to do His job during biblical study.
Beautiful.
John 7, 37 to 39 says this, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty,'" third class condition if, maybe you are and maybe you aren't, you have a choice. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him at that time were to receive at Pentecost." As God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's listen to June Murphy worshiping our Lord in song while you fix the eyes of your soul on the author and the perfecter of your faith, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The opening song, "How Great You Are." Ladies and gentlemen, we have a correction. The correct song is "You Don't Have to Beg."
You're no stranger to me.
Thank you, Jim. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to understand what fellowship with you really is. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and you're listening to Lesson 422 of the Creator-Creature Conflict series. That's a mouthful, you know what? Welcome to a ministry designed for serious students of the Word of God. Today's study, the Creator's will, is that you be in fellowship with Him. The Creator's will is that you be in fellowship with Him. Please stand. Not you, Tommy. Tommy's in a wheelchair, so he can't get up. So that's funny. In gratitude for all who defend our freedom, especially in gratitude for military victory from our frontline military personnel, and in honor of law enforcement officers all over the world, especially those in our own congregation, we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I always kind of get tongue-tied mentally at indivisible. I always want to say individual. So a few announcements. Congratulations to Pastor John Farley and Lighthouse Bible Church, who closed on their new church building. I'm so excited for them, because can we be far behind? That's not why I'm excited. One friend could not be happier for another friend. They found a great property, and now they go through the tedious process of tearing down and building it back up, but they're really happy about it, and I'm happy about it for a couple of reasons. First of all, for them, because this is going to be great, but when it comes our turn to do this, we'll be able to take advantage of the lessons, and I know that Pastor Farley will mentor me in all the pitfalls of this, so I'm really happy for them, and this is going to be a fantastic thing for their congregation. So congratulations, Pastor Farley. Mark your calendars. Next Lord's Supper celebration is next week. That says February, but it's really March. Well, no, wait. It is February. It's March in my head. So next week, February 10th, 2013. Also, Barah Ministries radio program is on KXXT 1010 AM in Phoenix, and it broadcasts on Fridays at 4:30 p.m. to 5. You can hear it on the radio or online live at that time. And then it is rebroadcast for a week at myfamilyvaluesradio.net. When you get to that page on the left-hand side, there's a button that says click to listen. You click on that, go down to G, and our program is called God Cares for You. And this week, God Knows You Won't Live a Sinless Life was aired. I recut some of the lessons from last year and put them up, so we're going to get into new lessons shortly. Mark your calendars. March 3rd, we will not meet here. We will meet at the Hilton in Chandler at 2929 West Fry Road, Chandler, Arizona. So the older members of the congregation, I've said that to you now about 10 times. You might want to write that down somewhere and make sure you don't come to the wrong place. I'm not looking at you per se, Raphael, but yeah. So mark that down. Also, mark your calendars. Homecoming for the non-resident congregation is June 15th and 16th, and it'll be good to see. We're getting calls from the non-resident congregation that they're booking their flights, and so we're looking forward to that. We're going to put up something on the internet pretty soon so they can sign up, so we'll know how big a facility we need to have. But right now, we have this facility rented. Also, mark your calendars. The Coeur d'Alene, Idaho Bible Conference tentatively set for August 9th. Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference in Idaho, tentatively set for August 9th. I'd like some of you to join me up there, and it should be a really fun time. Coeur d'Alene is a beautiful city in the summer. In the winter, a lot of snow. Happy birthdays in order. Happy birthday to, hang on. I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. The plan is still on to assassinate this computer right after the study. Happy birthday to Heather Marie Inman, who had a birthday on January 28th. They facetiously call her Heather James Inman, so I thought I'd throw that in there. Happy birthday also to Alani, who was 13 on January 4th, but she didn't tell me because she didn't want to be called a cretin. So I'll remember that next year. Happy birthday to Donna Chin out in Dallas, who will be joining us shortly, coming back to see us. Happy birthday to Heather's mom, Julie Inman, who has a birthday today, I believe. Happy birthday to Mandy Palazzo, whose birthday is February 4th, Lake Ariel, Pennsylvania, in the house. And happy birthday to Kira Brumbach, whose birthday is coming up on February 7th. I don't know why we're saying happy birthday to a two-year-old. She can't even talk. Yeah. Is she talking now? What's she saying?
Do it.
Oh, no. Is she a pushy one? That's great. I wonder where she got that from. And happy birthday to my art slave, Lindsay Goldberg, out in Florida, who is a wonderful person. Happy birthday, Lynn. Wait a minute. No, that's Lisa. That's not Lindsay. It's Lisa, Mommy. So happy birthday to Mommy out in Florida. That's great. I have a report from Laterno University, where a bunch of college pukes are listening to me, Andre, Kyle, and a guy named Zachary. And evidently, Zachary always goes to sleep when he's listening to the lessons. And I mean, that's perfect, because that's what used to happen with my own Zachary, my older son, when we would play Bible lessons, isn't it, Zachary?
When I'm weak, I'm strong.
When I'm weak, I'm strong, he says. Don't give me that crap. Don't use my words against me. So I got news for that Zachary out there. Zachary, you better wake up. Life is passing you by, dog. These college pukes, they need this truth in their souls. And then we got Kyle over there, who is Andre's brother. You know, and Kyle's a smart guy, right? So all of his classes have been a breeze so far. And now he's getting into those classes that say, hey, so easy. And he's not being able to use his little, you know, his little scam program to get these classes done. Now he's actually got to put in a little effort, work a little harder. And so don't be blowing off Bible doctrine, Kyle, because this 1 hour will make you do supernatural things with those courses. But you got to study. So all I got to say to Andre, Zach, and Kyle is don't make me come out there. Don't make me come out. Where is that place? Where is Lieutenant?
Longview, Texas, 2 hours.
Oh, I ain't coming to Texas. Don't worry. I am not coming to Longview, Texas. Thank you very much. No, but you guys get it together. So I'm watching you. Is that all right? Laterno's in the house. We're watching Laterno. Jamie Mastrocola's senior exhibition opening reception at Gallery 100 at Arizona State University. It's coming up on Wednesday, February 20th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So this is her senior project. She's on the final, the home stretch of graduating from college. And it's about time. She's what is she, 35? So it's finally, yeah, she, exactly. She got a birthday coming up February 14th, too, Valentine's Day. That's kind of lousy to have your birthday on Valentine's Day, right? Kind of get gypped a little bit. But if you'd like to join Jamie for her senior exhibition, I think it's going to be a good one. It's called Beyond Here Lies. So it's probably about her life. You think about that and you'll really get it. Beyond here lies. See? No? All right, to hell with you guys. And then no Bible classes. March 10th, April 21, June 30, December 8, December 29. All right, now let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Caleb Allburn. And this doesn't apply to you visitors. This is for everybody else. But if you want to help us out, come on up. But if you want to help us out, we need paper. You know, but don't be reaching in your pocket with no coins, and don't be crumpling up a dollar bill, all right? It's not about guilt. Come on up, man. Go ahead.
And that was the offering message for today, so thank you. God provides Bible doctrine through His grace, and we hope to reflect His grace. Therefore, Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for any Bible doctrine at BarahMinistries.com. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive the Word of God free of charge. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. It's been a while since we had a Caleb story, so God decided that it's time to have one again this week. Just in case any of you guys were suffering from withdrawals, okay? So we're going to have that. My work did something that many great, large organizations do. It completely changed everything about my job, including the way that I was paid. A couple of changes that they made that caused the most pressure to me was that they stiffened the penalty if my quota wasn't hit, and they made it harder to hit the quota. Imagine that. You can ask Amanda if she was here. I went through my small time of whining about it, but luckily for me, she pays attention in church. She told me to shut up, stand up, and go to work with your hands out and wait for God to drop the business on your hat onto your lap. That's obviously not what I wanted to hear when I was having a pity party, but that's what I get for marrying Jennifer Brumbach's daughter, so.
Amen.
Either way, that's exactly what I did. I went to work with absolute confidence that God was going to take care of everything. But instead of just having me hit my quota like I wanted, He went ahead and decided to more than double it, and He made me the number one banker in the entire district. That's good. I had pause for applause. So really, really happy that that worked. That would have been really bad. I say this because God has been teaching us time and time and time again that it's pressure that causes us to grow. Now, certainly, when we're face to face with this pressure, it's not exactly something that we consider fun. It's not exactly something that we enjoy. However, this is how we grow. Maybe it's because I'm still young, but I still like growing as a person. And although I don't always like being pruned, I certainly like the outcome. Maybe, you know, when I'm older, however, like about 50 or so, maybe then I'll get to the point where I no longer need to grow because, you know, I've already reached my peak at 50. There's no way that he's going to let me up here next week, but I'm hoping that instead I'm going to use the wisdom that God's poured into me over the years and dig deep into the Bible, knowing that all the real growth that happens comes only from His Word. Like it says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I can't think of anything that causes more pressure in my life than studying this book. And I can't think of anything that causes me to grow more in my life than this book. Imagine that. It took me a little bit of time to finally get that. We've always known that the Word of God is really what causes us to grow. But I don't think that most of us realized that that means the Word of God is what's going to cause the most amount of pressure in our life. Hopefully that gives us something to think about in our own lives. So thank you, and please remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture, that each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver.
Thank you, Deacon Caleb, for taking the offering. And by the way, those of you who give to Barah Ministries, your tax receipts will be coming out within the next week or so. So look for those. If you don't get them, then you should probably let us know. Today's study, the Creator's will is that you be in fellowship with Him. The Creator's will is that you be in fellowship with Him. So this is the setup for where we're headed next week. So the first two lessons of today, we asked you to contemplate some things that reviewed our first 12 lessons together. And now we're going to go into a different subject, the subject of 1 John 1:9. And we'll get into that fully next week. But this lesson is the setup. Now, I have a lot more than about a half an hour of material. So I'm going to see where we are at the end of a half an hour. And if it's going to take about five more minutes to finish it, I'll finish it. Otherwise, we'll just start it over next week. But turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. And we'll begin at verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. Genesis is pretty easy to find. It's right in the front. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then the Lord God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man." Genesis 2:23, "The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man.'" Genesis 2:24, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." When a man and a woman get married, a complete change happens to them. They transition from a state of being two completely separate and distinct individuals to being supernaturally made by God into one flesh. The Living Bible translates it this way. Oh, I wasn't changing the slides. I was asleep. The Living Bible translates it this way. "This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, joined in union with his wife, in such a way that the two become one person." The two become one person. God creates a supernatural union between a man and a woman, and it is called marriage. When the supernatural union called marriage occurs, this unity is always threatened from the outside and from the inside. That's what makes me laugh about people who live together before they get married. They always say, "Something changed after we got married." Yeah, it did. You went from being two people to being one person. And all of a sudden, when there was a unity, it got attacked. That's what happened. So when a supernatural union called marriage occurs, this unity is always threatened from the outside and from the inside. Adultery is an example of a breach of the marriage relationship from the outside. Adultery is voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and someone other than the lawful spouse. Voyeurism is an example of a breach of the marriage relationship from the inside. Voyeurism is obtaining sexual pleasure from the observation of someone undressing or having sexual intercourse, often involving the use of pornographic material. Both adultery and voyeurism are often dismissed as harmless by the world system of thinking. Yet they are designed by the kingdom of darkness to disrupt the unity of oneness, that is marriage, and the oneness of soul that we have with our Creator. They are designed to create a breach in the relationship. Breaches in a relationship always occur. And of course, breaches in a relationship can be repaired. But make no mistake about it, breaches are serious business. In the United States of America, 6 of 10 first marriages end in divorce. 7 of 10 second marriages end in divorce. 8 of 10 third marriages end in divorce, 83% of them. Therefore, many American adults are intimately familiar with breaches. The emotions that arise when there is a breach are so intense and so powerful that these emotions take the focus off of the spiritual learning experience of the breach. The kingdom of darkness despises unity so much that it will go to any length to disrupt it, including the destruction of your soul, the destruction of your marriage, the destruction of your family, and the destruction of your nation. Adultery is a breach from the outside. Someone or something outside of the marriage attempts to break down the unity by inserting itself between the man and his wife. The enticement is, of course, some kind of false promise. A promise of happiness, a promise of intimacy, a promise of sex, a promise of money, a promise of more. It's a false promise of something that is alleged to fill a deficiency that exists in the union. I can remember that there were women who, before I got married, would not even look at me or give me the time of day. And then as soon as I got married, suddenly they appeared singing a chorus of, "It had to be you." That was pretty good, don't you think? Suddenly, I was more attractive because I was married. After my divorce, I became aware of something that I was oblivious to during marriage. I continued to wear my wedding ring, yet now I was on the prowl, and getting dates was really easy. When the mourning of the loss of my marriage began to hit my soul and the wedding ring came off, I returned to leper status in the eyes of women. The moral of the story? I was much more attractive to the opposite sex when it appeared that I was in a union than I ever was when I appeared that I was not. There is a spiritual lesson here for those of you who are married. Beware of the breach. Voyeurism is a breach from within. It often leads to autoeroticism, the self-stimulation that is commonly referred to as masturbation. One or both members within the unity of marriage decide that it is more satisfactory and more expedient to engage in do-it-yourself sex, which could never be described as unity. The enticement, of course, is some kind of false promise. A promise of satisfaction, a promise of a good feeling, a promise of something more, of something better, a promise of something that is alleged to fill a deficiency that exists in the union. The payoff for voyeurism and masturbation is much greater than the guilt feelings that it is wrong. The payoff is the purchase of another false promise. Obviously, self-stimulation does not make us happy. In fact, it makes us miserable. What is not so obvious is that it completely distorts our ability to experience reality. Let me repeat that. It completely distorts our ability to experience reality. How can a normal human being ever live up to the vivid fantasies you construct in your mind when using voyeurism and pornography and masturbation as happiness tools? If we engage in these distortions in the soul for prolonged periods of time without resorting to the restoring power of God to heal us, we doom ourselves to an unhappiness of soul that is insatiable. And that's why it's called lust, because lust is an insatiable desire. And in case you don't know what insatiable means, it means it can't be fulfilled. It means it's a black hole. And no matter how much you pour into that black hole, it could never be filled. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Therefore, do not let the sin nature reign as sovereign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts." Romans 6, 13 says, Romans 6:13 says, "And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. There are your choices. Go on presenting yourself to the old self, or stop doing that and present yourself to the new self. Well, why is this important? It can be said in a word: fellowship. Fellowship. Take a 5-minute break, and we'll talk about fellowship. Welcome back. Well, from the intense looks on your faces, I see I have found a subject matter that is as important to you as Satan. You guys were leaning all up in my pulpit and stuff. You need to just back off a little bit. I didn't know that talking about adultery and voyeurism and masturbation would be that stimulating to you. So welcome back. Oh, is that what it was? You're no, man, we wanted you to get to fellowship. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. Yeah. Especially you, Zach. Okay, great. Yeah. You forgot who you're talking to. He forgot who he's talking to. He's talking to somebody who's known him for 24 years. I seen his first moments on earth. I was the first male to hold him. You know what I'm saying? Cutest baby on the planet. Cuter than your kid, Ben. Zachary. You know, you just meet me in the parking lot. We'll have a conversation about whose baby was cuter right after this. All right, welcome back. So we were talking about fellowship. And when we are unbelievers, we are separate from God without fellowship. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, you were dead, you were spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. That's our condition at physical birth. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And you know, the unbeliever, if you talk to them, they'll say, you know, I'm basically a good person. No, you have a sin nature and you're spiritually dead. So according to God's plan, you are not basically a good person. It's not your fault that you're that way, but it is your circumstance. So you were dead in your trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. The world has a curriculum. According to the prince of the power of the air, Satan is the ruler of this world, and he controls the media. He controls the airwaves. That's why they call him the prince of the power of the air. That's one of his functional titles. Devil is one of his functional titles. The accuser of the brethren is one of his functional titles. Satan is one of his functional titles. And most people think he does not exist. Or the people who think he exists think he is a red epidermis guy with a pitchfork and a tail. He is not. He's the most gorgeous, most brilliant creature ever to come from the hand of God. If he walked into this room right now, you would faint that you would be so impressed with him. You would be enamored with his voice beyond anything you can think. Why do you think he is so effective at deceiving you? Because you are enamored with his voice. And you're enamored with him. That's why you get those reactions. Oh, there he is. Even when you're hearing about him. And so, Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Who are the sons of disobedience? Unbelievers. People who do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says this, at that time you were separate from Christ. At that time you were an unbeliever. You're separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without a relationship with God in the world. That's the unbeliever. We're all born into that condition, condemned, on the wrong side of a barrier, separated from God, and helpless and hopeless to do anything about it. But because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he made a way for you to get across that barrier. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved at that moment with the result that you stand saved forever, and you cannot lose that salvation. So here's the point. At the moment of salvation, a complete change happens to us. Before salvation, God is a being and we are a being. He is the creator and we are his creatures. But at the moment of salvation, we are changed from two completely separate and distinct beings into one supernatural and unified being, because we are placed by the love of God the Father into union with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the baptism of God the Holy Spirit. Believers, that is what has happened to you. You have been transformed into this supernatural being called the church age believer. You are in union with the supreme being of the universe, and the two of you have become one. You are indwelled by the entire Trinity, not just the Holy Spirit, as a church age believer. That's a magnificent thing that is beyond your wildest dreams. And now, after salvation, then, we believers in Christ are of one flesh with God. We're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, first class condition if and it's true. Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers are, it's true. He is a new spiritual species. something that has never been seen before in divine history and will never be seen again. Moses longed for this day. The Old Testament believers would love to be in union with Christ. They were not. The tribulational believers were not in union with Christ. They would love to be in union with Christ, and they are not. You're a new spiritual species. The old self things have passed away. Behold, new spiritual species things have come. You, as church age believers, are proof in the creator-creature conflict that God was willing to do much more for creatures after they fell than he ever did before they fell. And that's the amazing God that we have, a God of justice and righteousness and integrity and love. So, the two, our God and you, have become one person. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says this, or do you not know, believers in Christ? Are you ignorant? Do you not know that your body is a temple of God the Holy Spirit? You indwelled by the Spirit, and then the other two members of the Trinity as well. That your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is indwelling you, whom you have from God the Father, and that you are not your own. Once you become a believer in Christ, you become a possession of God. Think about that. You're in union with Christ. You are a possession of God. Think about what that means. Can you lose the filling of the Spirit? How can a possession of God lose the filling of the Spirit? Are you a loser believer in heaven? How can that be? I didn't hear you answer, though. Some of you still got that coat hanger hanging in your closet, don't you? But how bad can the ghetto be in heaven? You've got to realize the magnificence of who you are as a believer in Christ. And you know what? If you aren't hearing God's word, you don't. And if you do hear God's word, when you leave here, you forget. And you go right back out there and perform to the old self. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, you, church age believer, are a chosen race. You are a royal priest. You are a holy nation. You are a people for God's own possession, so that you may do what? Serve. Serve how? By proclaiming the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, how can you proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light if you keep forgetting how marvelous you are? It becomes a problem. The Lord Jesus Christ is the groom, and we, as church age believers, are the bride. Just as a human male takes for himself a bride, so it is that God takes for himself a bride, the church, you church age believers, with each of us becoming a part of the bride at the moment of salvation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 says this, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Ephesians 5, 32. This mystery that I just talked about is great. That's what Paul says. But of course, I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. It's beautiful how he walks right down this path, and then he brings that up, and people think that he's talking about marriage, because in Ephesians 5:22, he says, wives, be in submission to your own husband. And then in Ephesians 5:25, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And then he gets down to this part, and he says, you thought I was talking about y'all, didn't you? No, I'm speaking with reference to Christ and his church, the groom and the bride. And as a believer in Christ, you will be at an unbelievable celebration in the future, the wedding feast of the bridegroom, an amazing celebration in heaven with billions and billions and billions of believers there. Best party you've ever been to. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, the groom, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready just before that feast. When our union with Christ occurs at the moment of salvation, the unity is always threatened from the outside and from the inside. False teachers and false doctrines threaten to breach our union with Christ from the outside. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, who created them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Oh yeah, but swift destruction upon you too. There are enemies from the outside who want to disrupt the unity that you have with your God, who seek to stand between you and your union with Christ by creating doubt in your soul and by penetrating your soul with lies. The flesh is our internal enemy, and it threatens to breach our union with Christ from within. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 say this. God the Holy Spirit explicitly says that in every generation, some believers in Christ will fall away from the faith, paying attention instead to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. How? By means of hypocrisy of liars. Those are the false teachers who are seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. They're fixed in their mindset, fixed on the lies. You know who those teachers are. Some of them are on TV. False teachers, false doctrine, and the flesh, the sin nature and the cell structure of your body are weapons formed against us. They are designed by the kingdom of darkness to disrupt the unity of oneness that is our union with Christ. They are designed by the kingdom of darkness to create a breach in the relationship between believers in Christ and the risen Christ. And we can easily see that unity always has breaches from without and breaches from within. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says this, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. See, this is something that I always lament. I always find myself lamenting the fact that we can't keep everyone who comes to Barah Ministries. I was going over some old letters, and I was reading letters from people who have left Barah Ministries and lamenting over it. And then I ran into this verse. And I said, oh yeah, if they were of us, no matter what had happened, they would have stayed here. Breaches in relationship always occur. They always are made apparent. And of course, breaches in relationship can be repaired. But sometimes they're not. As believers in Christ, though, we have hope. Even when we allow a breach in our relationship with God, we share in the strategic victory of the cross as believers in Christ. And now that we are in fellowship with God at that moment, we have the possibility of restoration when there is a breach in our post-salvation relationship. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 says, no weapon, not false teachers, not false doctrines, not the flesh, no weapon that is formed against you, believers in Christ, will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, false judgments, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. What does that mean? You don't have to fight back. You don't have to fight back. I was reading that letter, and there were some things that were said by people about me in that letter. And I just scratch my head and I say, who could have said that, and why would they even say that? And I remember how that hit my soul at the time. And I'm thinking about it now, and I'm thinking about, who cares what they have to say? True or false, who cares? Who really cares? Because it didn't change anything. It didn't discourage me so that I stopped teaching. If I went to them and proved my integrity, would they believe it? They would never believe it. They don't care. And you got people in your life, no matter what you say to them about yourself, no matter what sales pitch you're giving, they are fixed in their view of you, and that's just that, and they're going to go with that. Go with it. Go with it. That's what happens in all relationships. We think we know the other person, and so we, oh, I can name that tune in three notes. Oh, I know what you're going to say. Oh, I already know what you think. We do it with the people that are closest to us. We do it with the Word of God. We do it with God. Sloth in our souls. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says we have hope. You are from God, little children, believers in Christ. You notice how many times John, in the first letter of John, calls us little children, right? That's a tremendous term of affection. You are from God, little children. You've overcome them. Who? The world. How did you overcome the world? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ so as to be saved, so that you were placed in union with Christ and you had the absolute righteousness of God imputed to you and you became a saint and a priest and an ambassador and holy and blameless and justified and redeemed and reconciled and expiated. Need I go on? You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is indwelling you than he who is in the world. Why do we have the indwelling of the Trinity? To counteract the sin nature. Does it work? Yes, it does, when you allow it to. All right, here's the payoff that leads us into our next study. The confession of our personal sins to God as believers in Christ is a legitimate function in the Christian way of life. Let me repeat that. The confession of our personal sins to God as believers in Christ is a legitimate function. So many of you are asking me, yeah, but what about confession? Legitimate function. All right. It does not allow us to control the entrance and the exit of God the Holy Spirit from our lives, as the doctrine of rebound falsely claims. There is no connect between those two. It does not affect our fellowship with God. Believers in Christ are in fellowship with God. Who placed us in fellowship with him? He did. Does he ever change his mind? No. So can you get out? No. I didn't hear all of you, though. Some of you are kind of hesitating. Can you get out of fellowship with God?
No.
Period. Why? Because God is faithful. Because God is immutable. Because God doesn't change. Do you change? Do you turn your back on God? Yeah. Does that put you out of fellowship with God? No. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. We went over it in the last lesson. June even sang a song about it. Amen? All right, so can you put that, can you go in your closet, your doctrinal closet, can you take that coat hanger out? I can lose fellowship with God. Can you take that coat hanger out? Throw it out. You're in union with Christ. You have absolute righteousness. You're a saint. What exactly do you think you're going to be able to do to get yourself out of that situation? Nothing. You're not that powerful. Your will is free within a dominion. And you can't change your union with Christ. You can't change your salvation. Oh, I changed my mind. I don't want to believe in Christ anymore. Too bad. You're in union with Christ. You can't change it. Isn't that lucky for you? That God has compensated for your stupidity. Your future stupidity. Amen? How magnificent is this guy? He's amazing. Because can you imagine a teenager, right? Like believing in Christ and then changing his mind. You know what I'm saying, dog? Feeling me? I changed my mind. No, you can't. So, the confession of personal sins is a legitimate function, but it does not affect our fellowship with God. Here's the deal. After self-examination, confession is a normal function in a healthy relationship. When we realize that we have a thought, words, or deeds that is the cause of a breach in our union, what is a confession? You know what? I was wrong. It's that simple. You know what? I was wrong. I thought this way was going to work. You said there's only one way that works. I completely agree with you. That's what homologeo is. To completely agree with God. Admit, name, recite, yes. But to completely agree with God, confess the word, homologeo, completely agree with God that he's right. You know, every time we do that, it's an amazing thing because it shows our absolute genius. You know you were right about that. You know you were right about that. We turn it into a parrot. Rack! You know you were right about that. He's right about everything. Live long enough and you'll figure that out. After all the dead ends and all the wrecks, you'll figure out that God knows what he's talking about. So, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is fellowship. When we breach the relationship through personal sinning, our union with the Lord Jesus Christ is not removed. John 10:27 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John 10:28, "And I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give the eternal Zoe life to them," believers in Christ, "and they will never perish." Oh, I love this last part. Is y'all ready for this last part up in here? "And no one, not even themselves, will snatch them out of my hand." Can you lose your fellowship with God?
No.
John 10:29. "My God, the Father, who has given them," believers in Christ, "to me," the Lord Jesus Christ, "is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch believers in Christ out of the Father's hand either." And the Holy Spirit's in there. "What about me?" You too, man. Holy Spirit's the one talking. Can you lose your fellowship with God?
No.
No. Do you feel ridiculous for ever thinking that you could? Liar. I do. John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." I, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father are one. We're unified on this matter. No one will snatch you out of our hands. Once a son, always a son. Isn't that the moral of the prodigal son? You remember when the prodigal son came back and said, "Pops, I'm not even worthy to be your son." Dog, get the signature ring, fat a calf, party. Why would you even say something like that? Once a son, always a son. How many places in the Bible does it have to say it? If a man has 99 sheep and one of them is lost, what does he do? He leaves the 99 in the pasture. He goes after the one who is lost. That's about believers, shepherd and sheep. You're a sheep. Unbelievers aren't sheep. When you wander off, he goes and gets you. Can you lose fellowship with God? No. He's not going to let it happen. Our union with the Lord Jesus Christ is irrevocable. Or if you prefer, irrevocable. Romans 11:29 says this, "The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." Doesn't get any clearer than that. We, church-age believers, like Israel and like the Jews before us, are grafted into the vine. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches, and we are grafted into the vine. We do not lose the filling of the Spirit when we commit personal sins after salvation. Let me repeat that. We do not lose the filling of the Spirit when we commit personal sins after salvation. We can, however, grieve the Spirit. And think about that word in just in English. Forget about what it says in the Greek. Think about that word. When you are grieving, what happened? Something died. Right? One of your kids is going over and playing with death. That grieves the spirit. And then quench the spirit. We can grieve and quench the spirit. But it's important for us to know what those terms mean. And not to go off willy-nilly. And we will study them in God's timing. Closing song. One of June's favorites.
And not one of his.
The Alabaster Box. Okay, don't taunt me. How much was the damn oil? How much was it?
Priceless.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to a cross and to provide the opportunity for us to have a relationship with you. Thank you for the spiritual freedom that you offer. Thank you for calling to our minds the things that we have adopted that keep us in tyranny and slavery. And I pray that all who are at the other end of this message might experience the freedom of shedding the false and shedding beliefs that have nothing to do with your word, and instead growing by means of grace in the sphere and knowledge of growing in the sphere of grace and in the knowledge of your of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. Go Ravens!